Okay, we're going to be in Philippians chapter 4 and starting at verse 6. And here's what it says. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Father and Lord God, thank you for your word. And I just pray that you'd speak to each one of us wherever we're at today. And Lord, that you'd speak life to us. That you'd help us to understand what it means to have the peace that only you can give. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. And feel free to be seated. Last week, I introduced us to kind of something for us to be thinking about as we move into the new year. And the new year is a great opportunity for us to think about is hey, how do we live life well? How do we live life well on a daily basis and day to day, week to week, month to month, and year to year? And as much as we joke around about New Year's resolutions, there is a sense in which it is good for us to think about, hey, how do we resolve to do things well as we enter a new year? And so as I've been thinking about this, as I was trying to figure out whether I was going to start a new message series or what I was going to do for this Sunday, because I was having a sermon block. And I remembered that there was a verse that I actually didn't take us to last week during the message, or a set of scripture verses, and it's the one that we just read together. And I thought, you know, I want to come back to that, and I want to end on that, because last week I talked about the idea is that scripture tells us is to let us fix our minds on things above, not on things below. Let's focus on the kinds of things that God would have us think about. And so, and then I also shared is that, you know, even when Jesus was teaching his disciples to pray, He taught him saying, is pray this way, say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And you know, one of the dangers of the Christian life is that we give up the things here on earth because we have something more to look forward to in heaven. It's one of those dangers of thinking is, I'll never really be sinless until I get to heaven. I'll never really be pure. And yet we're to pray for the same things here on earth as they're true in heaven. We're to long for those things. We're to think about the things that are above. We're to do the things that we would be doing in heaven, but we're to do them right here on earth. And one of the things that I just introduced is maybe it's helpful sometimes is if we just narrow life down to kind of one area of focus for a year or for a month or for a period of time, just so that we can focus on that. And maybe in focusing on that, it actually brings blessing to every other area of life. And so last week I introduced the idea of having a word that you could kind of hold on to for the year that would kind of help you to be able to press into the year with focus. And that word might be, is like a few years ago, a friend told me about this, and I thought that he was silly, is his word for the year was fun, is he was just going to have fun with his family. Now, I thought that it was weird, and then I started talking about it last week, but for some people, the word maybe is faithfulness, I just need to live out the spiritual disciplines. I need to be faithful. I need to be faithful as a husband. I need to be faithful as a wife. I need to be faithful when it comes to just following Jesus, and so that means faithful in prayer and faithful in being a part of the body of Christ and faithful in these other things. It might be if you've been struggling in a particular area. It might be adopting a word that would help you to be able to press into the coming year and to pursue whatever it might be. If you've been struggling with an addiction of some kind, then it might be recovery, might be your word. It might be sobriety. It might be, and at the end of the service last week, I had a number of people coming up to me and saying, hey, here's the word that the Lord gave me for the coming year. And I thought, that's really cool. But I want to build on that because, you know, we are called to set our minds on things that are above and not on things below. But what does that actually look like? What does it look like? And I think that the Apostle Paul gives us some ideas about what that looks like. And he actually says is that when it comes to, you know, when it comes to living well, and he talks about the peace of God, when it comes to the peace of God, being at peace in life, There are three things that are really essential. And when I would say this is just when it comes to living well on a daily basis, there are three things that are really essential. And he gives us these three things in this passage right here. He says it's important to have right praying. It's important to have right thinking. And it's important to have right doing. I mean, so right praying, right thinking, and right doing. That makes sense. But he actually talks about what that looks like right here and what the results of it are. And he starts by saying is don't be anxious about anything. Now, how's that possible? Now, I don't know about you, but there are times when I struggle with anxiety. And it might be because of the number of things that I have to get done in a particular week. It might be because my kids are bothering me. I don't know. It might be all kinds of different things. And if you look at the original meaning of that word anxious, here's what it means is it means to be ripped to pieces. I mean, that's a visual image that is pretty powerful. To be torn to pieces, is that the way that we sometimes are when it comes to the anxiety that we carry in life? And I would say, yeah, it probably is. You know, in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus was teaching the crowds, and he said to them, do not worry. And it's the same word as what's used right here. Do not be ripped to pieces about the things that you will eat and the things that you will drink and the things that you will wear. For the Father knows that you need all of these things. Is don't be anxious about them. And we would say I'm not really, but aren't we? Is sometimes even the simplest things can kind of pull us in different directions. And we can think what am I going to do? I need this much money coming in, and there's just this much, and I don't know how I'm going to make it. Or there's all of these things that are going on at work right now, and it's just so challenging, and I don't know what to do, and it can cause all kinds of concern. There's these things at school, if it's school, and now all the kids are gone, and I'm talking about school, and whatever it is. There's these things, and so the picture there is that what worry does is it pulls us apart. It pulls at us so that we're pulled in different directions. We feel like we're being pulled apart, torn asunder by the many things in life that worry us. And the Apostle Paul is saying, do not be pulled apart. As Jesus is visiting the home of Martha and Mary and Lazarus. So there's these three siblings. And we're told that Jesus just loves spending time with his family, and he's in their home, and he's teaching them, and Mary is sitting literally at his feet. We're told that she's sitting at his feet. And Martha is doing the things that she was good at doing. She's taking care of everything. She's making the food, and she's doing the dishes, and she's cleaning everything. And you know what it's like to have guests in your home, don't you? Well, guys really maybe don't think about it, but girls, you know, right? Someone calls and say, hey, we're just going to stop in and say hi. And you're like, yay. And then there's this mad rush to make sure that the underwear and the socks are thrown in the bathtub and the curtains pulled. And you sweep the little bit of dust underneath the rug. And they come in and everything's looking good. Wow, your house looks so great. Oh, thank you. How nice of you to say that. Or whatever it might be. And then all of a sudden, hey, can I get you something to drink? Can I get you something to snack on? And the whole time we're thinking, what do we have? We have got water. Awesome. Can I get you a glass of water? And that's Martha. As Martha's worried about everything going on, and she's running around, and she's taking care of all of the preparations, and she sees her little sister just sitting around. And finally, she becomes irritated enough that she says to Jesus, Jesus, why don't you tell my sister to help me? And here's what he says. Martha, Martha, you are torn to pieces about many things. You're anxious. You're worried about many things. But Mary has chosen the better one, and it will not be taken from her. And yet, how many of us are running around in life trying to make everything perfect, trying to make everything look good. Is we want to look good in our workplaces. We want to look good in our family situations. We want to drive the right cars and have the right clothes and all of that kind of things. And it's almost as though Jesus could say to us is, and you can put your name in there, but Martha, Martha, you're worried about so many things. And there are things that are more important than what you're worried about. And the Apostle Paul is saying is, you know, all of these things that can kind of pull us to pieces, all of these things can pull us apart. He's saying, do not be anxious about anything. And that includes everything also, okay? So do not be anxious about anything. Instead, there is a peace that you should pursue. There is a peace that you should have. And so in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, and I don't know why thanksgiving is thrown in there, but sometimes is if we're focusing more on the things that we're thankful for rather than on the things that are going wrong, that it can just do just enough to shift our attention to the things that really are important. And so the Apostle Paul says, in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Is let him know about what's going on in your life, because he does know. He can see. He has a big picture point of view. You see the trees. He sees the whole forest. He sees it all. And so pray. And that alone can be challenging for us, because I don't know about you, but do you sometimes struggle with right praying? And even believing that prayer works. There's an old story about a church that was living in a community. There had been a bar in that particular community that just had a history of causing all kinds of problems in the community. And the bar had closed down for one reason or another, and a new owner had bought the bar, and the church in the community was worried because that bar had caused so much grief and so much pain and so much addiction. And so they began praying and just saying, Lord, would you just intercede. Lord, we just love for you to take this problem away from our community. We just love for you to work it out, Lord, is move on the behalf of our community, Lord, hey, convince the owner not to open it, do something. Lord, just stop it. And that week there was a big thunderstorm and a bolt of lightning came down and hit the bar and burned it down. The tavern owner was angry. He'd heard about these prayers, and so he took them to court and was suing them for the damage that was done to his bar. And the people from the church came into the courtroom, and they said, it's not our fault. We didn't think that this would happen. The judge said, this is really interesting, we have a tavern owner who believes that the power of prayer burned his bar down, and we have a church that doesn't believe it. You know, though, that's sometimes how we act as a church, we're praying and we're praying and we're praying, and then we, even sometimes when we get answered prayers, we don't believe. We don't believe. You know, the idea behind right praying is that we will lay these prayers out to God and we'll ask him to intercede on our behalf, and that we should actually believe that he answers prayers. And you know, when you think about the things that you carry, the anxieties that you have, is what would it look like to take those to God? And here's the picture that I have of what that might look like. I almost wonder if it wouldn't be good for us to have a prayer box in our home. Because you think about the things that we carry sometimes, that we just carry on our heart, and there's those things that threaten to rip us to pieces, those things that just cause us to really struggle with some of the aspects of life. It might be a good idea if we write those things down on a paper, and if we kind of take them before the Lord and we say, hey, Lord, this really is kind of one of those things that I think a lot about. And it might be your kids. It might be your work situation. It might be whatever it might be. You can just put it in there. And you can write it down and you can say, Lord, I'm bringing this to you. And you might put it in the prayer box as though you're putting it into the hands of God and saying, Lord, I'm going to leave it with you. And then here's what sometimes happens is sometimes in the midst of our praying is it comes back up again. It's in our heart again. And so maybe it's a good idea to go back to the prayer box. Since you already picked it up, you might as well pick it up again, and you can pick it up and you can pray and say, hey, Lord, once again, I've got to give it to you because I'm taking it back up. And so, Lord, I'm just praying about this. And Lord, I'm praying that you would bring your comfort and that you would bring your peace. And I really do want to give this to you. And so you put it back in the box and you leave it with the Lord. And the idea there is that we have a God who cares so much for us that he can handle the things that we can't. And so when those things are tearing at us and when they're pulling us apart, we might as well take them to the one who can see the whole forest, because all we can see is that one tree in front of us that's just right in the middle, that's just right in the middle of the path. And it's in our way and we can't get beyond it. And so what would it look like to just really give that to God? It's so important to do, but right praying. Don't be anxious. Pray. Present your requests to God. With thanksgiving that you have a God who is bigger than those things. And then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard. And in the original language, that phrase, will guard, that's a military word. And what it means is that he will set a garrison around your heart and your mind. That he'll send guards to set up around your heart and mind to protect you. And so that picture is I can just picture, you know, sometimes we sing the God of angels armies. You know, he does have angels at his disposal. Is he sent them to give messages? Sometimes we think is that, hey, yeah, his angels, they, you know, they do their thing, but they don't care about me. You have a God that cares about you. And he's got at least a couple of angels, or a lot. And you know, the picture that we're to have in Scripture is that he is always active on our behalf. It's not just a Mary thing. It's not just a Joseph thing. It is a his people kind of thing. And he sets up a guard for us. He sends his garrison to put a guard around our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. It's because of Jesus. It's because of our faith in Jesus that he does these things. And so right praying. Right praying. Let's talk about right thinking. He says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Now what this is a list of virtues. In the same way that the ancient Greek philosophers would talk about virtues, now we have the Apostle Paul talking about virtues. And so Socrates and Aristotle and Plato would talk about the virtues of everyday life. And the Apostle Paul, now he was aware of these teachers. We know that he was, because at various times, particularly in the book of Acts, he actually quotes Greek and Roman philosophers. And so he's giving us this list of virtues, and he's talking about truth, and he's talking about honor, and he's talking about justness and purity and loveliness and the things that are commendable and things that are excellent. But what's the difference between what Paul's talking about and what Aristotle or Plato or Socrates might talk about? Because I don't think that this is just a list of virtues. And so when the Apostle Paul is talking about these things, he's saying is that it's really important that you think about the right kinds of things. And whenever the Apostle Paul talks about this, he's actually talking about Scripture. He's talking about the things that are true. And what's more true than the Word of God? Nothing. Is he saying is focus on the promises of God. Focus on who God is and what he's done for you. Is whatever is true. And you know, that should just take us back to the words of Jesus. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man gets to the Father except through me. God is a God of truth, and the people of God are a people that should mark it in the truth. And so we should be thinking about the truth of God in the midst of this everyday life, because here's the deal is the world is trying to sell us a lie. The world is trying to sell us a lie. In fact, is every day we hear lies and we tell lies to ourselves. We hear them on TV. When you watch a commercial and you hear some kind of message that says, you need to have this in order to be happy. You need to have this in order to be fulfilled. That's actually a lie, because you can have that and it might make you happy for a little while, but it is absolutely not true, because scripture says is there are things that moth and rust will destroy. And if you've ever had a car, you know that that's true, because there gets to be a day where it kind of looks real good and then you go out there and there's a little tear in the seat. It's like, who did that? Or it doesn't start. And then you're mad at that car company because they gave you a lemon or whatever it is. But why do cars break down? Because moth and rust doth destroy. We see that with our bodies. Our bodies begin to fall apart. And because of the sinfulness of this world, this is our bodies even begin to fall apart. And so you can put your hope in those things, and you can hear that message on TV that says you need this in order to be happy, but it is a lie, because you know that one day you go out and you are not happy, that it's not starting. And yet we hear that message over and over and over again. Or you need this. You need this as you, or you deserve this. And you know, because of the lies that we get told and we think are true, or the lies that we tell ourselves, they cause all kinds of problems in life. And fact is that most of the addictions that we struggle with in life are because we've believed a lie. I need something to just take the edge off and let me have a little bit of fun. And we start believing that lie. And the next thing that we know is that it begins with a choice. It turns into a habit. It becomes an addiction. And that's really true about so many things in life. I need this. You know how much damage is done in marriages because we begin to think that we need something from our spouse? And the truth is that we do. We have responsibilities within our marriages. But when a need becomes a demand, it turns into an idol very quickly. And it becomes our God, and we begin to demand things of our spouse. Because we have begun to worship that thing and say, if you don't give that to me, then you're not caring about me. And it becomes so unbelievably destructive. And here's the thing is that, like, I think about this in the context of some of just the work that I do. And I think about it even in the context of is like dealing with death, and particularly over the last week as I've been meeting with a family and trying to walk through the finality of death. You know what is if we don't believe the truth, then death all of a sudden becomes an all-encompassing final thing. And so it's so important for us to remember is that we have a God who wants to give us life, and he wants to give us freedom, and that when we believe in him, that we are free indeed. And it's the reason why I can stand up and I can preach at a funeral and say is that there is hope even in the midst of terrible circumstances, even in the midst of terrible tragedy. There is hope because there is a God who is a God of life, and he wants to speak life to you. And do not accept death. Do not speak death to yourself. Do not embrace death in any way. Is rather put your faith in God and think about him. Because really, I think that that's what the Apostle Paul is saying is whatever is true, and who is more trustworthy than God? No one. Whatever is honorable, whatever is just. And it's hard for us to think about that which is just, but here's the thing is that God is more just than any of our civil systems that we have in this world is well, the courts and the civil government may fail us here. God does not fail us. Is that he's the only one that can hold his justice and his mercy in perfect balance. He's the only one who can be angry and yet not sin. He's the only one that can be so concerned about the terrible things that happen in this world, that can be angry about the murder and about all of the things that are going on. He can be angry and yet he can give his mercy all at the same time. He can deal with sin and pay for sin and at the same time extend grace when it's so necessary and so needed. And so he takes sin seriously, but he also takes grace seriously, and he does it through his son, Jesus Christ. And so he deals with our sin and extends to us mercy, but the only reason he can do it on both sides is because of Jesus Christ, because Jesus paid for that sin. And by doing so, made it possible for us to receive the mercy and the grace of God. So Paul says, is think about the truth. Think about the things that are honoring. Think about the things that are just. And then he says, think about things that are pure. And so he says, think about these things on an intellectual level, but just not on an intellectual level. Also think about them on an emotional level, because then he says, is think about the things that are lovely. And you know, here's the thing that I really, really believe is I think that there's nothing more lovely than the good news of God. You can't find anything more lovely than that. Because the good news of God is that God loves us so much that he sent his son Jesus into our brokenness, into our hurts, into our pains, into our addictions, into all of that. God loved us so much that he sent himself into this brokenness in order to make everything right. He took that brokenness upon himself. He took the pain upon himself. He took the sicknesses upon himself. He took the addictions upon himself. The Bible says is that by his stripes we are healed, because he took it all on the cross. We can receive healing. There's nothing more lovely than that. I can't think of anything more beautiful than that. Beautiful for us, not beautiful for him. Because he took the ugliness so that we could have the beauty. I mean, you think about that. You think about the ugliest things that are a part of your life. The absolute ugliest things that are a part of your life. He took the ugliness so that you could have his beauty, his purity, his righteousness, his goodness. There's a sense in which is he took hell so that you could have heaven. He took the attacks of the enemy so that you could have the blessings of God. Think about those things that are lovely. Is when you are telling yourself lies, when you're saying, how can God love me? Is begin to speak truth. God can love me because of Jesus Christ. God can love me because he took my ugliness so that I could have his beauty. Think about that which is lovely. Think about that which is commendable. It's what's more commendable than what Jesus did for us? And the picture that I have is that Jesus went and he fought the battle that we couldn't fight because we were too scared and we were too immobilized by the attacks of the enemy. And so the picture that I have is of David and Goliath. But I have this picture of the people of Israel, and they're actually absolutely seized up. They can't do anything. They're scared to death of this Goliath that's out there. And this little shepherd boy comes to bring some lunch to his brothers and says, hey, what's with the big guy? Man, he thinks he's cool. Is anyone going to go out there and tell this big dude that he's got an ego problem? Okay, I will. You're like, you can't go. Well, why not? Someone has to. And David goes out and he fights the battle. And the interesting thing is he fights the battle for all of Israel. He wins, Israel wins. He loses, Israel loses. And he becomes the champion for Israel. But here's the deal is that David was still not perfect. He was the champion. And yes, he won the battle. And because he won the battle, all of Israel won, even though they didn't lift a sword. When he defeated Goliath, he defeated the Philistines. And because the champion won, everyone won. But David still failed in life. He still committed adultery. He still participated in the murder of Uriah. He still bought into some kind of a lie that said, it's okay, you know, I just had to deal with this. I'm the king, and sometimes I have to do whatever his lie was that he told himself. But here's the deal, is there was a greater champion, and that champion was Jesus. And he not only fought the battle with death and with sin and with the devil, he fought all of our battles at the same time, and he won, and he never lied, and he never cheated, and he never committed murder. And fact is he submitted himself to the very death that sinners deserve. And he's the only champion that fought every battle and therefore won every battle for those of us that cannot lift the sword. There's nothing that's more heroic, nothing that's more commendable than that. Do you see how it is if you start thinking about the truth of God's word, how it helps you persevere in the circumstances of life? You don't have to be at peace because of the circumstances, but you can be at peace in spite of the circumstances. And so when you're praying rightly and when you're thinking rightly, it changes the whole landscape of everything. And remember that the Apostle Paul, he was saying all of these things when his circumstances weren't all that great. Because he's saying these things to the Philippian church. And do you know where he's writing from? We're told in Philippians chapter 1, he says, brothers, what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel so that it has become known through the whole imperial guard and to all of the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. He's writing this letter from a rotten, stinking prison cell. And he's saying, don't be anxious about anything. Instead, pray. Present your requests to God with thanksgiving. Most of us have never been in a prison cell. And the only reason the Apostle Paul can say that is because he knows about the power of prayer and he knows how important it is to think rightly. And so he says other things in this letter. For instance, he says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. If this ends in my death, okay, because I win, because I get to go be with Christ. And so if I die, it'll work out. And if I live, good news. I get to tell people about the good news. Either way, I win. It's part of the reason why Friedrich Nietzsche really didn't like Christians is because he said is they think they win all the time, even when it's obvious that they don't. No, we do. We always win in Christ Jesus. We always win in Christ Jesus. Because even if we die, we go to be with him. And if we don't die, then we get to tell more people about him. So we win. So the Apostle Paul says, pray rightly, think rightly. And then the other thing he says is do the right things. And so he says, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. And the only reason that he can say that is because he had been modeling it. He's in a rotten, stinking prison cell. And he's saying is you want to know what peace is? Peace is knowing that you have a God that has the keys. And even if your captors think that you're imprisoned, is you have a God that has the keys and he's already released you from the prison of sin. He's already released you from the consequences of hell. What you're going through right now is nothing. It's absolutely nothing. And so these things that you've seen in me, And he says, as I've learned to be content in every situation, whether I have a lot or I have very little, I've learned to be content in everything. Is why can he say that? He can say it because his contentment comes from his faith in Jesus Christ and that Jesus has already won the battle. And as you're going into another year and you're thinking about all of the battles that are out there, and you're thinking is how do I not buy into all of the lies that I tell myself? How do I not do that? And you know, it really comes down to right praying, right thinking, and right doing. And all of that should direct us to Jesus Christ. Because here's the truth, is our peace does not come from the circumstances of this world. It comes from Jesus Christ. Romans 5 says that we were enemies with God. That apart from Jesus Christ, we're enemies with God. Romans 5:10 says, for we were enemies with God, but we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. So much more. Now that we are reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have received reconciliation. And so our peace comes through Jesus Christ. Our peace with God comes through Jesus Christ. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The greatest peace that we will ever receive is our peace with God. And in fact, our peace with God makes it possible for us to have peace with each other and peace in this world. Ephesians 6 tells us that the gospel is a gospel of peace. The gospel is what makes it possible for those of us who were once at war with God to be at peace with him. And Colossians 1:20-22 says that in him, in Jesus, in whom the fullness of God dwelt, through him we've been reconciled to God. Because he reconciles to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by his blood on the cross. The purchase price of our peace was the blood of Jesus on the cross. That's one truth that you need to know more than anything else. Is that you're made right because he took everything that was wrong about you and crucified it on the cross. He died for it on the cross. And everything that's right about him was given to you. And so when you're tempted to believe lies, like that God doesn't care about you, or you're tempted to believe that you need something else other than God, you can throw it away as a lie. And you can say, you know what I really need is I need God. I need his words. I need his promises. And anytime you're wondering hey, is this true? You can go to God's word and you can look at it and say, what does God's word say? And you know, I think that that's actually what we need to do as a church more than anything else, because so often when we get off track, it's because we've started to believe things that aren't true about God or aren't true about his word. But when we get into his word and we begin to understand it, we begin to learn things about his truth that are for us. And so we are to hold on to the promises of God and reject the lies that we tell ourselves and the lies that really come from the enemy. We're going to close with prayer. And as we do, I just want to encourage you is ask yourself the question hey, do I tell myself lies or have I believed lies? Do I believe that I need something to make me happy? Do I believe that? Because if you do, it's time to just reject that and say, I don't need this thing or this thing. I need Jesus. And if you've never put your faith in Jesus, then I want to encourage you to do that. If you have put your faith in Jesus, but you still end up kind of forgetting
that it's really Jesus who we need, then really to say is, Lord, sometimes I think that I need this and I need this and I need this, but I really need Jesus. So if you haven't put your faith in Christ, I just encourage you to do that. But just saying, as Jesus, I need you. I need you to forgive my sins. I need you to be my champion. I need you to defeat the sin that's a part of my life. Thank you. Be my Lord and my Savior. Forgive me for every sin. And if you're just being reminded is that, hey, there are these things that I think that I need and I don't, is it just say, Lord, I really don't need that primarily. Is I've been anxious about that. I've been worried about whether it's the things that you'll eat or the things that you'll wear or whatever, however that relates to life. Lord, I don't need those. I need you and I need your kingdom and I need your righteousness. And I know that everything else will fall into the right place. So Jason's going to come and he's going to close us in prayer. And as he does, this is just an opportunity for you to just really pray before the Lord. And again, if you haven't put your faith in him, I'd encourage you to do that. If you have, but you're being reminded, then just lay those things before the Lord. And Jason will close us. Let's stand together.
Let's pray. Lord, we just humbly come to you this morning and just thank you for your word that Brian has shared this morning and your word that you have given to us, each one of us, that we can take it to heart. And Lord, we just think about your word this morning, Lord, to not be anxious. And Lord, as we all struggle with things in life, and Lord, just help us each one to just to commit them to you and relax, just give it to you and to relax. Lord, knowing that you want things for our good and you want to improve us and not to hurt us, Lord, but that things are for our good. And Lord, as we understand that these struggles and when we give them to you, it just strengthens us, Lord. It strengthens our faith. And Lord, just help us, Lord, and in our attitudes towards each other and towards everything that we have, just help us to understand and to have the right attitude towards each thing, that they are not ours anyway, and we're not really even our own. And Lord, we just commit it all to you. Just go with us this week. Give us the strength this week that we need. Bless us, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.